5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. It is official, and we're just going to do a quick programming note here, because there are examples every single day, if we open our eyes to them, that give us faith that everything crazy in this world isn't going to survive. That the people who, for whatever their issues and motivations are, who want to destroy this magical thing I think we've all taken for granted for far too long, that there's pushback, that there is sanity, that there is love and compassion and hope and kindness and goodness, and that there is enough of it to suffocate the suck. I believe that. And I saw it happen on Friday, Good Friday, on this program. You who have been watching the live video stream of this show on the Wendy Bell Radio Network app, and also Wendy Bell Radio on Rumble, started something on Friday with $20 to raise money for the January 6th defendants to have commissary privileges in jail. And by the time our show was over, 3 hours later, that $20 was $6,400. Thank you. There are certain things that should not be said. There are certain things that we have gone through together that I don't think need much explanation. I think in my lifetime, I'll remember 4 times where I was when something big happened. I remember where I was the day Karen Carpenter died. I remember where I was when the Challenger exploded. I remember where I was when Ronald Reagan was shot. And I remember with frightening detail September 11th. And there are just some places that are sacred where we don't go, where we don't sully memories or try to rewrite history. And the one I want to talk about now is specifically regarding 9/11. One of the images I will never shake, and it was because I was in television news at the time, And that happened right after I had gotten off the morning news for the local ABC affiliate here in Pittsburgh. And it was the days after 9/11 where people went into Manhattan with pictures and poster boards. Have you seen this person? And it was thousands of people missing. And the images of people in Manhattan after the towers fell who were walking around covered in soot, ash, dust. Just lost. I don't have to take you there for you to remember, because you'll never forget. That's why this story really bothers me. And it's a how it started, how it's going kind of a progression, because much like you, organically, yourselves giving $6,400 so that we could make a donation to sponsor J6.com. This whole story about a politician, a liberal woman, another liberal, college-educated liberal woman. And it's a shame that these people are the scourge that they are on our society. A woman, a politician in New York, who is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, if that should just, I don't know, put the paint on your palate so you know where we're brushing. FDNY firefighters forced to remove flag honoring 9/11 heroes after lefty politician questioned if it's a political symbol. This is one of the headlines on the New York Post. This was updated yesterday. I want to read you this. Fire department brass ordered an East Village ladder company to remove its, quote, red line American flag, honoring the squad's six brothers killed on 9/11, after a neighborhood resident complained it was fascist. What does that even mean? Does anybody even know what that means? Fascist. It's like racist. Everything cannot be fascist. Everything that you disagree with cannot be labeled so that you can be the perpetual victim. It was fascist. And a local lefty politician questioned whether it was a politically charged symbol. A flag! A freaking flag! The shocking order came March 22nd after a man claiming he was a staffer for Democratic Manhattan Councilwoman Carlina Rivera confronted firefighters. Who in the hell are you? Sit down. Sit the hell down. Wow. The shocking order came March 22nd after a man claiming he was a staffer for Democratic Manhattan Councilwoman Carlina Rivera confronted firefighters at Ladder Company 11. The man pedaled up. Of course he did. Of course he did. He pedaled up, probably with his man bun and his skinny jeans, to the East 2nd Street Firehouse on a bicycle, told firefighters he worked for Rivera, that the councilwoman's office complained to the FDNY 3 days earlier about the flag, which features a red stripe in tribute of firefighters injured or killed in the line of duty. If that offends you, pack your damn bags and get out of my country. Period. He called it a fascist symbol and demanded to know why it was still up. In a March 19th email to the FDNY Intergovernmental Affairs Coordinator, Madison Hernandez Rivera, the lady councilwoman who is part of the Democratic Socialists of America, because that's logical. Rivera staffer Lizander Rosario said the councilwoman's office was contacted by the constituent twice about the latter company's flag and asked if it's violating department rules. These people have to be perpetual victims, right? You've got to be a victim of something forever, even if you have to freaking make it up. So apparently, a little bit of pushback. Thank goodness. Apparently, enough people have been ticked off about this story, and I'll give you all of the details, that now the fire commissioner, you know, the woman, what's her name, Laura Branigan or whatever the hell her name is, she's decided to move back. We're going to step back off of this. She realizes that Bud Light is calling saying, ain't where you want to go. I wouldn't be fiddling with fire officials. I wouldn't be fiddling with New York City. You people have slapped them enough. You've stomped on them enough. You've stampeded their values enough. You try to fiddle with a flag celebrating heroes who ran into the towers, who lost their lives. Not going to be a winner for you. I'll let you know how it's going when we come back, because you need to know that crazy doesn't last forever. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. All right, so we told you how it's going. Some sniveling jerk who wants to be offended by a flag that has a thin red line on it to commemorate the lives lost of New York Fire Department firefighters on 9/11, that triggers some loser who doesn't have enough to do in his life. He's got to go find reasons to be a jerk, find reasons to give everybody's unease in a bunch, right? Well, apparently, Gateway Pundit headline this morning, city backs down after FDNY firefighters told to remove red line flag honoring brothers lost on 9/11. Well, what a difference a day makes. What happened there, pray tell? Ladder Company 11 in the East Village was told to remove its red line American flag after a neighborhood resident complained it was fascist. And a local politician questioned whether it was a politically charged symbol. Ladder Company 11 lost six brothers killed on 9/11. The flag is to remember and honor the fallen. According to the New York Post, a man claiming to be from Democratic Manhattan Councilwoman Carlina Rivera's office approached the firehouse, said the councilwoman's office complained to the FDNY 3 days earlier about the flag. He then called it a fascist symbol and demanded to know why it had not been removed. Why somebody didn't punch him in the throat? I don't know. I'm not a violent person. However, I could easily see that being a reasonable response. Post reports. Blah, blah, blah. I already read this to you. It is both Higgins and our understanding that private political symbols are not permitted to be displayed on public vehicles. How is this any different than the stupid school telling the kid with the American flag on the back of his pickup truck? Well, you know, it could be a symbol that may offend some people. Look, if my flag offends you, get the hell out of my state. Get the hell out of my country. I don't care. Hours after this constituent left the firehouse, FDNY Deputy Chief Joseph Shurarech visited firefighters and reluctantly said that the flag had to come off the fire truck. Where are the huevos? Grow a pair, FDNY, and kindly tell sniveling liberals to suck it. That's a nonviolent approach, and it's very effective. It actually is quite pleasing. Apparently, they were saying you're not allowed to provide altered versions of the flag. Shut up. So after intense public backlash, Laura Kavanaugh, that's who it is, Laura Kavanaugh, I was thinking about the singer, the commissioner of the FDNY, reversed their decision. Amazing how backlash, swift and strong, works. Councilwoman Rivera insisted to the New York Post after the backlash that her office never contacted Ladder Company. Nuh-uh, we didn't do that. What are you talking about? This is the first I'm hearing about it. What baggie? Whose fingerprints? We couldn't find anything on it. What? What are you talking about? How many suspicious activity reports? Nonsense. We didn't have 20 shell companies. Come on, guys. It's not hard to push back and to make them flounder. Defend yourself. If you're going to suck, own your suck. We'll dismantle you our own way. No, we didn't mean that. No, that was a misunderstanding. I'm sorry. See, the flag can stay. Because the whole argument is stupid. I'm so done with the stupid. With people who constantly need to be a knife in your side. They need to make everything miserable. Every stupid bike lane in my neighborhood. Every dumb roundabout. Every cone. Every ridiculous speed hump is some liberal jerk meddling. Oh, people are speeding. Oh, it's not safe. Ooh, let's do this. No, it's all about making your life inconvenient and sucky until enough people say, sit down, because we're done. That there was a deputy with the fire department in New York who went to that particular ladder company and said, sorry, guys, you're going to have to take down that flag, celebrating the lives of the firefighters that you've lost. That person is still in any kind of a position of power or authority is the big mystery to me. Because the minute somebody would come to me and claim a flag is fascist is the day they would become my ire. This is every single story through the lens of the left. How can we take something that works and gum it up? How can we take an allegation and make it so ridiculous, so preposterous, it can't be considered actionable? How can we make everything miserable, unaffordable, inconvenient, and make everybody angry? I'm done with stupid. When we come back, 4 years later after COVID, it's amazing Bill Maher had like an epiphany over the weekend. It's so weird because we've been saying this for 4 years, Bill. What is it? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So Bill Maher had a 9-minute kind of monologue on his show. I will freely admit to you, I've never watched his show. I see clips of things that he says after the fact, though I've never watched. Whatever. I mean, there's lots of room for people like Bill Maher. I find his epiphanies now and what gets his juices going intriguing. Because I'm looking at my watch, at my calendar, and I'm like, my man, what's taking you so long? Where you been? Where you been? All of a sudden, now you realize that every single thing that happened during the COVID pandemic was wrong. And every voice who was speaking up contrary to the narrative, who every knife came out for and against, right? Were the people telling us the truth? The people who were on the right of this, right? If we learn nothing, should we not at least remember? This is why I don't trust the FDA. This is why I think the CDC is a joke. I think Rochelle Walensky should be brought up on charges of perjuring herself. I think Tony Fauci is an evil, evil little man. And I think every single doctor out there, quite frankly, who didn't logically think about this and do any of their own due diligence before encouraging everybody and his brother to get this thing, should say they're sorry. I'll hold my breath for that. But this is where the whole idea of I'm so done with stupid as the title today came. Because Bill Maher called this monologue of his, which we've broken down into 7 audio sound bites, which I think are important, right? He called it stuck on stupid. And the whole argument is 4 years after COVID, we need to be honest with how we were lied to, how we were manipulated, and pay attention to the voices who were vilified, who were demonized just for sharing their ideas of what the truth was. So I want you to hear what I think is a very interesting coming around of a toxic personality. I believe Bill Maher is by and large toxic, who's now sort of coming around 4 years later and seeing the light, which ticks me off because we've been seeing it for years. Audio soundbite number 1, and he lays it on the line. What he is done with in terms of stupid. Go.
I get it that we didn't know exactly what was happening at the beginning of COVID and some mistakes were inevitable. But 4 years on, I'm tired of hearing, well, we didn't know. No, we didn't. But some people guessed better than others. And the people who got it wrong don't seem to want to acknowledge that now. Some people said closing schools for so long was pointless and would cause much worse collateral damage to kids, and they were right.
It was just common sense. This is not complicated, Bill. And you should have been able to see clearly as well. That had never happened before. Walking in your neighborhood and seeing your local playground with caution tape around it was about the biggest tip-off I needed to know what the hell is going on. We are being played. Audio soundbite number 2. Bill Maher calls out the media. The media who, of course, he championed and parroted endlessly because we remember. Go.
4 years ago, the Daily Beast ran a story with the headline, Bill Maher pushes Steve Bannon Wuhan lab conspiracy theory, which was typical of the mainstream media at the time. Of course, it wasn't a conspiracy theory, and it wasn't owned by Steve Bannon. And now everyone, including the Biden administration, admits there's at least a 50-50 chance that the virus could have begun in the lab in Wuhan that was doing gain-of-function research on that virus. Duh. But I don't see a lot of retractions being printed. Yeah, when COVID hit, we did a lot of stupid things because America never reacts. It only overreacts.
I agree 100% with that. We don't react. We overreact. We don't. I don't. Most conservatives I know don't. Period. But there is a pants on fire mentality that needs to be afraid and controlled. And I don't understand that. And by the way, Bill, I know you're taking a victory lap for thinking that you're so sage and wise for knowing all of this long ago. You are one of the main purveyors of the filth of COVID. So do us a favor and zip it. Audio soundbite number 3. He's going to look back at the overreaction. These are the things that you and I shared with each other starting at Palm Sunday 2020. Listen.
We washed the mail. We played baseball in front of cardboard cutouts. And ate in parking lots? Or with inflatable dolls? They closed the ocean. We banged pots and pans to show our love for nurses and our hatred for people trying to get a baby to sleep.
Now he's making jokes of this. We weren't making jokes of this. We were sharing with you stories of people being arrested on the beach for sitting by themselves in the sunshine. Bill, where were you? Yes, sir, it was stupid. Audio soundbite 4.
We were told to wash our hands every 5 minutes and don't ever touch your face. And if you absolutely must go to the beach for the sake of all that's holy, wear a mask. Outside? Because the last thing you would want to do when a disease is afoot is get fresh air and sunshine and vitamin D. No, much better to stay locked up, stressed out, and day drinking.
You guys remember when we had Dr. Eric Nipudi on the show from St. Louis, Missouri? He was being fined $500 million. No, I think it was trillion. I think they wanted to get him for like $500 billion. Something so preposterous. Why? What did he do? Did he go out and kill people? Was he dismembering them like those four wackos in New York who Kathy Hochul let off, right? Who sprinkled body parts all over the place? No. He talked about the benefits of zinc and vitamin D. That was so dangerous to the narrative because they needed you in line, in the chute, sleeve up, ready to take it. Audio soundbite number 5. Remember all about natural immunity? Remember every jerk telling you that even though you got COVID, that doesn't mean you're safe? People in your life who were lecturing you about natural immunity? I do. Go.
And if you do get COVID, remember, natural immunity is always the worst kind. So even if you've had the disease, you need a shot. Yes, some very bad ideas were embraced as the conventional wisdom, ideas that haven't aged well. And a lot of the dissenting opinions that were suppressed and ridiculed at the time have proven to be correct. Maybe that's why the powers that be never wanted a COVID commission. Why not? We love commissions. The Warren Commission, the AIDS Commission, the 9/11 Commission. The NFL even had a "is ramming your head into another guy's head bad for heads" commission. Really.
You know, it's not so funny, Bill, when we talk about these things with different storylines. You know, the commissions, let's talk about the commissions. January 6th commission. Where did everything go, Bill? Where has been your intellectual curiosity on that? How about all of the people being pulled forward to testify? The January 6th nonsense is what I'm talking about. Where's your critical thought on that? You're going to take a victory lap on knowing all of that was a sham too, Bill? Because we knew it was from day one. He says, well, have we learned nothing? Yeah. Pretty much, Bill. Go.
So where's the COVID commission? Because it seems to me we haven't learned a thing. Maybe the number one lesson from the pandemic was the need for proper air ventilation. Second was never go on a Zoom with Jeffrey Toobin. But if there's been a big national movement to retrofit buildings, I missed it. Gain-of-function research is still going on in labs. We're still torturing animals by raising our food in conditions ideal for viruses to make the leap to humans.
He says, we haven't learned a thing. Yeah, we have. Do you guys see what's going on all across America? Because of people like you? You have learned a thing. You are suspicious. You now question everything. You've cut your cord. You've stopped paying attention to news operations that demonstrably, predictably, and always seem to suck. You have learned. You learned, however, years ago. These people are just now figuring it out. And finally, where is the outrage over the trillions of dollars spent, wasted, lost, and defrauded that pushed our country into the inflationary hellscape we're in now? Go.
We handed out $4 trillion of free money, $280 billion of which was just flat-out stolen in what the AP called the greatest grift in U.S. history, and which started an inflationary spiral that we now blame on Biden.
None of it's funny. It's intriguing to hear people change their tune. To see people have their own awakening, whether it's because they need to, because public opinion has changed, but it's certainly not because Bill Maher is some kind of a trendsetter. You know who was? Joe Rogan, Aaron Rodgers, Peter McCullough, Pierre Corey, Scott Jensen, people who dared to say the truth, regardless of consequence. See, that's the part I don't get. How can some people see it and say it, and others are so blind and so afraid and so needing somebody else to make decisions for them? I don't get it. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, it's either funny or freaking pathetic. I can't decide. Donald Trump's political action committee creates a website to show you in true dollars and cents what shopping in Joe Biden's America costs vis-a-vis what it did 4 years ago. Kind of eye-opening. I'll share it with you next. All right, so Brock found this over the weekend, and you know, it's sad that we're in this spot. It was ridiculous. The whole predicate of Bill Maher talking about COVID 4 years later was that there's a question. He was talking about this question by both presidents, by Donald Trump and by Joe Biden. Both men want to ask, and it's been asked many times in polling, was your life better or worse 4 years ago? Do you like where you are? Do you feel good? Is this the path you want to be on? And he was mocking it that these two old, you know, codgers think that they should be relevant marching forward into this election season. Well, it's interesting when you think about this. This is a headline on redstate.com. This political action committee affiliated with Donald Trump has created what they call the Biden Mart grocery store. It allows you to show like mind-blowing price hikes since 2021. So what? Donald Trump leaves office on January 20th, 2021. Joe Biden ostensibly is inaugurated. Trump leaves office. And Joe Biden, literally hours after or moments after, I solemnly, I will do all of these things to try to destroy America as quickly as possible. And peace out. He goes and he signs all these bills, right? 7 or 8 of the 10 he signed day number one were about immigration, opening the floodgates. It's not like this wasn't planned and purposeful and premeditated, right? And of course, the biggest one was shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline before it could even get humming. So it's not a big stretch for you to go back and to remember what things cost and what they cost. Now, this is interesting. The Make America Great Again Incorporated Trump Super PAC has built a Biden grocery store website where you get to pick your items, and then it tells you what the final bill would have been under Donald Trump, right? Then it shocks the bejabbers out of you as it shows you what it costs 3 years of after, you know, all of the Bidenflation garbage. Now, is it funny? Is it sad? I guess you kind of have to decide. It's funny because it boxes Biden and all of his failed policies. Oh, Bidenomics, middle out, bottom up. Nobody knows what that means. What does that even mean? We're going to steal from all of you who are working hard, and we're not going to give it to people who are less fortunate. We're going to save it for ourselves to continue to grow an absolute, out of control, gargantuan, ineffective, triggered leftist government. So the BidenMart.com, Biden-Mart.com. You go there, you get greeted by a message, right? Putting food on the table has become harder than ever thanks to Bidenomics. As costs for everyday items continue to rise, American families are struggling more and more to foot the bill. Check off the items from the list below to compile your weekly grocery list and see how much more expensive your bill has become under Joe Biden. So the author of the article decides to play along, all right? So this individual says, all right, I'm going to get some ribs for dinner. I'm going to get some skirt steak for tomorrow, potatoes, carrots, grapes, some coffee, and maybe ice cream for dessert. Nothing crazy. In 2020, that would have cost $38.61. Today, it comes to $55.48, a 45.69% increase. And that is probably considerably more in California and New York City. Thanks, Joe Biden. The site also makes its calculations based on USDA data, January 2021 and January 2024. So it's not like anybody can be like, well, you're opening that up to your own interpretation. No, it's right here. And the people behind the website explained what their goal was. Every time you go grocery shopping, you're reminded of the failure of Bidenomics. Every single day, the Super PAC effort highlights one of the top issues of the presidential election in the United States in 2024. Grocery prices have jumped 25% over the past 4 years. And the shock doesn't ever seem to end. Now, if you want to go and check it, I mean, it leaves you dumbfounded when you see it. And that's why when we give you these polls where it's like, we surveyed 1,100 people and we asked them, is your life better off, worse off, or no different after Joe Biden took office? For people to say it's better is a lie. Unless everybody taking the survey or the poll is independently wealthy and doesn't have to worry about price checking. Everything they do is a slap across your face. The pinnacle experience, of course, coming yesterday on Trans Day of Visibility, as though we need to fall over ourselves more to give extras, to super accommodate a bunch of people who are the result of liberal manipulation and propaganda. And I direct you, please, 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 if you've got a bounce at any point in the next hour, make sure you come back and listen to this next hour's programming. Because I find it in some kind of a solace sense that I have said for years now, I believe the tragic downfall, particularly among our children, boils down to one seminal thing, one invention. And right now, a social psychologist is concurring with my assessment and digging into the demise and the fragility of Generation Z. Do not go anywhere. Hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio program is on deck. We're going to talk more about a great replacement or the greatest insult. I'll explain what that means next.